All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Welcome to Straight from His Word with Pastor Dermothy Lavelle.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, your mercy, grace, your compassion. We thank you for loving Son of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the gift of eternal life. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your compassion. Lord, we thank you that you redeemed us from the hand of the enemy and that the power of sin has been broken over our lives today. Lord, we offer the sacrifice of praise. Lord, you're worthy of all praise, you're worthy of all glory, and you're worthy of all honor. Lord, we love you today. We love you today, Lord, because you've been merciful, you've been long-suffering, and you've been compassionate, oh God. We thank you for your healing power, your healing anointing. We thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, oh God. We thank you for the anointing for deliverance, for restoration. We thank you for miracles. We thank you for spiritual breakthroughs in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, we thank you for greater spiritual understanding of your word and your ways, oh God. And Lord, I'm just grateful and thankful that you love us enough to send your son to die for us on the cross at Calvary. We've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy and that the power of sin has been broken over our lives today. I pray, Father, that you release your angels to push back the forces of darkness over this area and over this region and that the glory of the Lord might be revealed. God, I pray there'll be a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord God, that yokes would be destroyed because of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. God, I pray that you would bring down the high places that have been erected in the hearts and the lives of your people. And Lord, I thank you for binding the strong men over this area and the region, that the glory the Lord might be revealed, that the gospel would go forth with power and authority as never before. Lord, we need revival. God, we need a greater outpouring of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that the gift of faith would be activated in the hearts and the lives of your people. I pray, Lord God, we begin to walk by faith as never before. I pray, though, God, that the gifts of healing and the working of miracles, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, that they would begin to operate and activate in the lives of your people as never before. Lord, we need you to move. God, we need you to show up. God, we need you to break down the high places. God, we need to be delivered and set free from rebellion and hypocrisy and everything that has grieved your Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I ask that you move. God, I ask that you move as never before in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for healing every person that's been suffering with lung cancer. Thank you for healing lung cancer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for healing diabetes, type 1 and type 2. God, you're the healer, and I thank you for the manifestation of the healing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for setting people free from that spirit of depression and oppression and anxiety. And God, I ask that you would deliver them and set them free now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for healing those migraine headaches. These people that have those migraine headaches, God, I thank you for healing that right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you. And Lord, I give you praise and I give you glory and I give you honor in the precious and the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Welcome to Straight from His Word. It's a blessing here to be with you to share the word of God. Truly, we serve a mighty God. And I'm just grateful. I'm just thankful. I really am. For who God is. I thank you, you know, that he's given me this opportunity to be on the airways, to be on the radio, to share the word of God. To the first time listeners, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. I give it to you straight with no sugar added. Not the typical radio preacher, give you a chapter and verse. You know, it's time we get back to Bible basics, get in the word of God and see what the word of God declares. We are living in the last days. We are living in the last times. Times are perilous. And we need to be praying in the body of Christ, be praying for wisdom and discernment. And we need to be able to say, Lord, you know, show us what you're doing, you know, prophetically and Bible. Prophetically, God's time clock is ticking and moving. When I say Jesus Christ is his return, it's imminent. He can come back at any moment, any time. Prophetically, the stage has been set for all of the end time events, saints, you know, that we've read about and studied in Daniel in the book of Revelation. Some of you probably never even read it, don't know about those things. But all the things that we see happening on the world scene, particularly over in the Middle East, it's setting the stage. It's setting the stage. But we have a role to play here in the body of Christ here in the United States of America. As God has commissioned us to go and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to live a life that is pleasing before him, to live a life that when people come in contact with us, that they might be moved to consider accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you know. And I'm just grateful. You know, we're in this series called It's Time to Press Into the Kingdom of God. And you've heard me say it's about a sense of urgency, you know, making sure that we are in a right relationship with him. You know, when Jesus came and died for us on the cross at Calvary, it was to reconcile man back to God. And God is looking for some committed vessels, some servants that are yielded, that are surrendered, that are sold out. For God I live and for God I die. There are so many people that are in bondage and captive. People are bound up by drug addiction, alcoholism, different types of perversions. And God has equipped us, the church. We have been given the word of life. Many of us, we've come out of those lifestyles. We've come out and we've been delivered from alcohol and drug addiction and perversions and all these different things. And so our lives should be a living witness and a testimony to be a light to those that are walking in darkness. And yes, we are involved in a spiritual conflict. We are involved in a spiritual warfare, and just realizing the fact that the God that we serve is a deliverer. The God we serve is a healer. And if we in the church, in the body of Christ, would learn to just surrender and yield to the Holy Spirit of God and do it God's way, saints, we will begin to experience a manifestation of God's glory as never before. Oh, God, I'm just praying that God would raise up churches that are walking in the apostolic power and authority and anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, to where the Holy Spirit brings conviction and deliverance and healing and restoration, to where, you know, I'm tired of seeing the churches with all the hype with no power. We serve a God of power. The church was birthed in power. Only the power of God can deliver and set people free that are walking around struggling in all of these situations. I see it, and I say, like, God, we need more of your power. God, we need more of your presence. You know, and I just pray that when I'm in somebody's life, that I can make a difference, that I can impart some nature of God's love to them, some way of deliverance and healing to them, because so many people are hurting, so many people are in bondage and captivity, and I just want to see people free. You know, we're in a series called It's Tying the Present to the Kingdom of God, and we finished up in John chapter 15. And we were talking about the abiding and the relationship that God has called us to. And we're also talking about the rejection that comes from the world. You've heard me say this, that the world, the church has become so worldly, to where the world has begun to embrace many churches and denominations. But if we truly begin to speak and proclaim righteousness, then God's standard has been established. Jesus said they're going to hate you. They're not going to like you, because you're going to be testifying that their deeds are evil. The things that they're participating in is evil, and it is offensive to God. And, you know, the church, you know, we want everybody to like us. We want everybody to come to our church. No. Because if you're not willing to adhere to God's standard of righteousness and holiness, then you're just hanging out and realizing it's about being in a relationship with him. Because when you truly come to know Christ, God's going to begin to take out of you those old ways, those old desires, and all of those things. No, we're not going to be perfect, saints. We strive for perfection. By the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, we will make mistakes. We will miss it. We will walk in rebellion. We will be disobedient. But by the grace of God, and you heard me say that when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Many of us out here, we're walking around and we have stuff that we need to ask God to forgive us for. And many of them said, well, Lord, why haven't I experienced my breakthrough? Well, we haven't experienced a breakthrough because you probably have unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart. The Bible tells us that when we stand praying, forgive. We need to forgive one another. You know, when people have lied to you, when people have betrayed you, when people have rejected you, you need to ask God, Lord, give me a love for that individual. When people are lying, God, help me to pray for that individual. We need to be praying and asking God to move. We need to ask God, give me a forgiving heart, Lord. Let me be able to forgive them, Lord, regardless of what they've spoken and said. God, let me be able to forgive them. Many people are in bondage and captivity because they've not forgiven. Many people have issues with their moms and their dads and their siblings. And you know what? It's not worth it, saints. I want my pathway to be clear so my fellowship with God is not broken. So if I need to forgive them, I'm going to forgive them. God, give me the grace to forgive them. Because, God, I want to walk in liberty. God, I want to walk in freedom. But Jesus also began to say this, that as you begin to take a stand for righteousness and holiness, the world will not embrace you. And they're going to say some things about you that are wicked and that are evil. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, let's go there. You're listening to Straight From His Word. I pray you get something out of this. Just tell it like it is, saints. Tell it like it is. Glory to God. Not the typical radio preacher. Be praying for me, saints. I need your prayers. Glory to God. In John chapter 16, here's what the word of the Lord says to us saints. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. Jesus said, don't be offended. God, there's a strong spirit of offense. You can't say nothing to anyone these days without people getting offended. I'm trying to tell you, saints. Oh, my God. He says, this is what's going to happen. He was prophesying to his apostles, his disciples. And we experience it today. Literally, when you truly begin to speak the word of the Lord and you begin to stand for righteousness and sound doctrine, folk going to put you out. They ain't going to want to be around you. I'm talking about church folk. I'm talking about religious folk. It said, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, and the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. They think they're doing God a favor by taking you out, putting you out. You think they're going to, you know what? No. Jesus said, and these things will they do to you because they have not known the Father. He said, they don't know me. They don't know my words. This is part of the problem. I tell people, get in the book, study the book, read it from Genesis to Revelations. Get to know the God of the Bible, not the God that these preachers have been teaching that they've learned from seminary. I call it a cemetery. I know I got degrees behind my name, letters behind my name, but I've not allowed that to kill the word of God inside of me. You see, I don't add from God's word and I don't take away from it because I'm not God. It's my job to give you the word of the Lord. And then if you struggle with something in God's word, that's between you and God. Get on your pray, seek the face of God and let God deal with you accordingly. There are a lot of people that's going to miss heaven because they had a spirit of unbelief. They had a spirit of fear. They was fearing man instead of fearing God. But here I go. He says, but these things have I told you that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you from the beginning because I was with you. And then he goes on to say, but now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Yeah, they had been walking with Jesus for 3 years. And the fulfillment and the purpose of his ministry and his purpose was coming for him to die on the cross at Calvary. And they got sad because, you know, they had grown attached to him. They had spent this time with him. And he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Jesus said, when I go, I'm going to send back the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, so that you're not alone. See, we're never alone. You see, the enemy will embrace and move us into a place where we will believe the lie that we're lonely, nobody loves us, nobody. No. If you are a child of God, you're not alone. The Holy Spirit is always there to comfort you. That's why he is called the Comforter when you are hurting. You can cry out, Lord Jesus. Sometimes I tell people when they're going through, I said, if you can't say nothing but Jesus, say it. The presence and the peace of God will come upon you in the midst of your circumstances, in the midst of your hardship. Sometimes at this time, you say, Lord, I just say Jesus. I just say Jesus. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. Uh-oh. And I will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, and of righteousness because I go to my Father and see me no more, or of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. He says, I yet have yet many things to say unto you, but you have not cannot bear them. And I'm going to read something here from the Full Life Study Bible because I love these study notes here. It says, reprove the world of sin. It says, when the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, his principal work in relations to witnessing and proclaiming the gospel will be that of reproving. The term reprove is Greek, eleko, and it means to convict, expose, refute, and to convince. The Spirit's ministry of convicting operates in three areas. Sin, the Holy Spirit will expose and reprove sin and unbelief in order to awaken a consciousness of guilt and the need of forgiveness. Conviction also makes clear the fearful results if the guilty persists in their wrongdoing. After conviction, a choice must be made. This will often lead to true repentance and a turning to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Righteousness, the Spirit convinces people that Jesus is the righteousness Son of God, resurrected, vindicated, and now the Lord of all. He makes them aware of God's standard of righteousness in Christ, shows them what is sin, and gives them the power to overcome the world. The Spirit convinces people of Satan's defeat at the cross, God's present judgment of the world, and the future judgment of the entire human race. Number two, the Spirit's work of convicting people of sin, righteousness, and judgment will be manifested in all who are baptized in the Holy Spirit and who are truly Spirit-filled believers, filled with the Spirit and evil. Look at this. John the Baptist preached. John the Baptist called people to repentance and understanding the fact that the Holy Spirit of truth, when he's come, he's going to expose those things that are not right and not pleasing in the eyesight of God. And we have to realize, okay, this is what God is showing us. But the world is not going to like it. That's why when you have a Bible-believing, preaching sound doctrine church, you're labeled as bigots and this, and then you get labeled this and labeled that. And all you're doing is preaching the full count. I'm not talking about them churches where they just preach and teach hate and they do it out of spirit of anger and all this stuff. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about when the preacher has an anointing of God on his life and he's proclaiming the word of God, no sugar added, and allowing the Holy Spirit to be the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work. That's what I'm talking about, saints. I'm not talking about these hate-filled religious groups that preaches hate. I'm not talking about that. And so he, when the Spirit of truth, he's going to the world of sin and judgment. He says, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. I said, this is a part of my have the day. When I have, you know, when people get caught up, you know, even in the political arena, it's amazing. I've never seen so many believers embrace deception and lies, and they support lying politicians. Okay, I'll leave that alone. Oh, my God. I mean, like, really, are you saved? You know, anything that is bound up in deception and lies and deception, and you say, oh, it's okay because they have a D behind their name or an R behind their name, but you embrace it, realizing the fact that the enemy's at work and you can't see the enemy, how the enemy is working behind the scenes. Anything that's based upon lies after lie after lie after lie, we cannot condone it. We're called to reject it. He will guide you in all truth, how to live your life, how to be a good wife, how to be a good mother, how to be a good father, how to be a good husband, how to be a good employee on the job. And all of these things are found in the word of God. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you into that path of righteousness. Yeah, he's going to lead and guide us, but we still have a will so we can choose to rebel and disobey and do it our way. And there are consequences for doing that. Doesn't mean God does not love you, but it just means that we're not being yielded and led by the Holy Spirit of God. We all have our shortcomings. We all have our vices. But by the grace of God, we're able to overcome those things, saints. That's why your faith walk with God is given every day. Every day is a new grace. Every day is a new beginning. That's how much God loves us, that when Jesus made the provision for us, he made a way so that if we were to stumble and fall and do something we know we shouldn't be doing, we do it anyway and say, oh, God, forgive me. I did it, God. God will forgive you. And eventually we get to the place to where we no longer participate in this, or we talk like this, or we go here and hang out and we do this. That's because we begin to mature in Christ, because we've allowed the Holy Spirit to take over. Whew, man. And he said he will show you things to come, give you revelations of things of the future. God is so good. We will have discernment, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. God will begin to show you, okay, here's what's coming on the horizon. You know, a lot of times we wake up and, you know, God wakes me up at 3 o'clock to pray. I'm like, okay, Lord, what's getting ready to happen? Something, the enemy's been busy. He'll wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. He'll have me praying, and I'll pray. Might wake me up at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'll pray. And then later on in the day, I get a phone call. Man, I was almost in a major car accident. Oh, I was in an accident, but I walked away from it. Okay, Lord, you had me praying, interceding for that before it got out of hand. Thank you, Jesus, for me praying and interceding for my brother and my sister. It says, he that glorified me, for he shall receive of mine and show it to you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore I said that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me again. A little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto you, a little while, and show it? Shall we not see me, and again a little while, you shall see me again, because I go to the Father? They said, therefore, what is this that you are saying, a little while? We cannot tell what he is saying. And then Jesus knew that their thoughts were, and he said, do you inquire among yourselves of what I said, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again in a little while, and you shall see me again. Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hours come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man will be able to take it from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing, for verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And at that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you. And because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God, I came forth from the Father, and I am coming to the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. And his disciples said unto him, Lord, you're speaking plainly to us now. Their spiritual understanding began to open up. Now are we sure that you knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee of this? We believe that thou came forth from God. And Jesus said to them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, and the now is, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace in the world. You shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus said there's coming a time, and he was talking about the crucifixion. He was talking about his resurrection. He was talking about his ascension. And he was talking about the comfort of the Holy Spirit that would be sent back to us. And that's what the day of Pentecost was all about. But Jesus said, when I get there, I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit. You see, the manifestation of speaking other tongues is the Spirit of God that gives utterance. A lot of people don't believe in that today, but it's true. It's one of your weapons that God has given us in the church. Though we can pray in our heavenly prayer language, bypass all that carnal stuff, and go directly to the throne room of God. But this is going to be the manifestation that I am seated at the right hand of the Father. God has equipped us. God loves us. He loves you. And whatever condition and state that you're in today, you can be free from it. Why? Because when Jesus died for you on the cross at Calvary, the power of sin was broken over your life. Jesus came to break the power of sin, to redeem us from the hand of the enemy. We have to begin to embrace who we are as sons of God and daughters of God, and receive the love of God and not reject it. Because for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And it's about being reconciled to God. It's about being in relationship with God. God longs to have a relationship with you. I pray that today that you would open up your heart to receive all the love that God has for you, and realizing you've not been rejected, but you've been accepted in the Beloved. Saints, I can't finish this today. Be praying for me at Straight Word Christian Ministries. Need your prayers, need your financial support. Be obedient to the Holy Spirit in that area. Be praying for the peace of Jerusalem as the Bible commands us to do so. Know that Jesus Christ is Lord's return imminent. Be praying for your family members, co-workers, and those that don't know Christ, that they would come to know them, that their hearts would be open to the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Pray for your leaders and know that Jesus Christ is Lord's return imminent. I love you. The grace of God be with you. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to Straight From His Word with Pastor Dermothy Lavelle. If you'd like to contact Pastor Dermothy or send him a gift of support, their address is Straight Word Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. That's P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, 98093. Or you can call 253-431-7375. Again, 253-431-7375. On the web, it's straightwordministries.com. That's straightwordministries.com. Tune in again for more Straight From His Word with Pastor Dermothy Lavelle.